Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettori. Today, riding this with Mario Jerez, who taking care of things behind the scenes, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, Will Hall. Coach Hall, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing good, Mike. Really appreciate you guys having me on.
Coach, we both grew up in the South. I don't know if we're getting old or what, but, man, it seems to have been an unusually hot August. And, you know, we went through that wave. Have you done anything different from a practice standpoint? Man, the heat and humidity, it does take its toll on you. And when you're halfway into camp, man, those guys, whew, man, I'm ready for the first game. This practice is killing me.
No doubt, man. We're in our third week, which is, you know, our third week of camp, but also we're still 3 weeks out from playing a game. And one blessing we have is we built that indoor facility right here on campus, bubble. And like a lot of, you know, big Power Four teams that have that, they'll do half their practice outside and half indoors just to be able to sustain that heat. And we've been able to do that too. We've done several practices where we start outside and then we'll finish inside, and that's been a huge advantage for us. And then we still go to the Saints from time to time. It's such a great resource for us. It's really cool for the players, you know, to be in that environment and be around those people, because that's what they all aspire to do. We certainly appreciate them for that. But that's a few things we've done to try to manage it.
Can you imagine, as a college player, and you get to practice at an NFL facility? Man, how cool is that if you're a college player?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, the great Willie Fritz used to say all the time, we've never had a bad practice at the Saints. And it's so true. You know, from being here with him and then last year with Coach Summerall and now myself as the head coach, like, when you go over there, you never have a bad practice. And, shoot, I don't blame him. I remember my first time here as an OC in 19. I was warming up the quarterbacks there, and I looked over to my right, and there was a big picture of Archie Manning, and I was like, crap, man, I'm sitting here warming up next to Archie Manning's picture. Let's freaking go, you know?
That's great. Coach, I think every year, you don't know how freshmen, you know, adapt to the college game. Some, man, it's a pretty smooth transition for them, and they look like they belong. Others, it takes a little while. And it's almost, I guess, like being a teacher and teaching somebody math today. Some people get it right off the bat. Others, it does take a while. Has there been a few freshmen that have really stood out for you that you think can help you pretty quickly this season?
Yeah, I think number one would be Jordan Kreitz, a freshman D lineman out of Texas. He's a guy that's really big and long and plays with extreme effort. Keyshawn Coleman at wide receiver has been a freshman that's really showed up and played really well. Trace Johnson at quarterback, he's behind some older guys that are just a little ahead of him because of time on task. But obviously he can really play. Jake Randall's a young running back out of Newman right here in the city that's had a good fall camp. Myron Jean at safety, Dylan Brasher at linebacker. So we signed a great group of young guys. We really did. Caden Dees on the D-line. And but, you know, with that, Mike, I think it's what we always say is there's positions where you're always attacking, where no matter what the play call is, you're attacking, like wide receiver and D-line. Whatever the play call is, you've got your assignment. And then there's reactionary positions like O-line and secondary and linebacker, where you really don't know what you're doing until after the ball snaps. You have to fit it correctly based off what the other side does. That's a little harder transition for high school kids, because like a high school lineman's going to have three or four run schemes and maybe one pass protection versus one front and maybe two blitzes all game. Then they get to college and they've got seven run schemes, eight protections versus five fronts and 10 different blitzes. You know, so it's just a drastic change from high school to college a lot of times.
Yeah, especially for the linemen. I agree with you totally on that. I know you get asked this all the time. Anytime any interview comes up, but the quarterback situation with Zion, Chris Gramillion, and Caden Samanza, and early on, maybe at got some reports that Caden wasn't really quite in the groove early on, but boy, he's heated up now. And so how does your quarterback situation look like now? And I know you've told me in the past you don't mind playing two quarterbacks if you have to, or even three if you have to. The objective to this game is to win.
There's no doubt. I've won three conference titles as a head coach playing two in my past. But, you know, you'd like to have that one guy that takes the reins. The good thing we've got going for us is both guys are playing at a high level. It's not a deal where we haven't named a starter because we don't feel good about a guy. The reason we haven't named a starter is because we really feel good about both of them. And we feel like they deserve the opportunity to go all the way through this week of fall camp. And, Mike, they're both playing really well. They really are. They're doing some great things. Caden's operating at a really high level. He's running the ball well. Obviously, everybody knows Zion's a great runner, but he's also operating at a high level. So both of them are playing well, and we got three more practices this week before we flip over into Duke, and we're looking forward to watching them compete these last 3 days.
Coach, I'd be remiss, and, man, I'd catch Hal Hill on the bayou if I don't ask you about him, but that's Jalen Lucas. I gave Gary Smith the business. He was like, Mike, he's an Edna Carr guy. I said, what? He played 1 year at Edna Carr. Man, he grew up on the bayou, man. Come on, Gary. And so he said, Mike, you're absolutely right about him. I'll be honest with you, Coach. I've done this over 40 years. He's the most electrifying guy I've ever seen as an offensive high school player here on the bayou. His ability to hit it and get it, and not a lot of dudes that can do that. Now, he ain't the biggest guy in the world, but you talk about a dude that can run, and I know he'll help you out tremendously on special teams. That is a big plus for him. But do you have packages for him where he'll play running back and wide receiver? Because I remember one game that he played, and they had 57 snaps. He touched it 56. The only time he didn't touch it, they snapped it directly to the halfback on a play to try to confuse him. But, man, I know he's not big in a package, and that second number is most likely a 7. He's 170-something, but you talk about a guy who is electrifying. He gets out in the open field, and nobody going to catch him.
No doubt. For all the Saints fans listening, you know, he can be a very two-lane version of Darren Sproles. You know, that's what we look at him as. He's a guy that will be in the backfield. He'll be in the slot. We call it the super back position, which, you know, is very much what Sean Payton used Sproles as and Reggie Bush and Alvin Kamara and those types. So that's what Jalen is for us. You'll see him in the slot. You'll see him in the backfield. You'll see him, you know, kick returning, punt returning, and a great attitude. He's so happy to be back home. He wants to finish well with his college career. And like you said, man, he played, you know, Terrebonne and then comes over to Edna Carr and plays for Bryce Brown at Carr. And man, he's been kind of been around the world and back in his college career, and he's proud to be back home and help us do something special in his city and in his area.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. His family thinks the world of you, and they are so glad that he is back home. I'm going to tell you that. They really thrilled that he's back, and they think that you be able to utilize him the way maybe I think we all thought would happen when he came out of Terrebonne and Edna Carr. A little bit about your offensive line, because that's an area where injuries do happen more than any other spot. You've got some guys who have a little experience and a few starters, but to me, that's the key to any offense. Yeah, you got to have a great quarterback, but you got to win up front. So a little bit about your offensive line play.
Yeah, you know, we've got really more depth than we had last year. We don't have as much experience playing, time on task, but we got a lot of guys that were heavily recruited and have a lot of potential. We got to get them there faster. With Dom Stewart and Ryan McCoe at tackle, Ryan was a transfer from Boston College that played really well there. He's had a great spring and fall camp. Dom Stewart is a guy that's been in our program. He'll be going on year 3. And is a really talented young man. It's his time. John Bach at center was one of the better group of six O-linemen in the country in the portal 2 years ago out of FIU. He was pushing to start for us last year before an injury. So he's played a lot in his past as an older guy. And then Gresham Perry's a young guy, man. You know, from the Lafayette area that redshirted last year, who's got a bright future at guard. And then, of course, we got Reese Baker back, who was one of the better O-linemen in our league last year, started every game for us. And then we got a ton of depth behind that. You know, we got some young guys that they know it's their time to play. We brought in Gavin Marks at center, who was an FCS All-American. He's still a young guy. You know, you got Tristan Fortenberry at tackle, Juels Baptiste from St. Aug at tackle, and some more young guys that are battling right there, you know, to be in the mix. Got two young O-linemen, A.J. Amos at guard and Tylan George at guard. Tylan's from West Monroe, that great program, and are true freshmen. They're going to be really good players.
Your young defensive coordinator, I remember last year, Coach O telling me about this, and he had went to a number of the practices, and he was like, hey, A.T. boy, that guy can coach. He got a lot of vigor to him. How has that went with him, his first time as a defensive coordinator? He was the linebackers coach for you last year. But the team knows him. He play, you know, he coaches with a lot of fire and a lot of energy. And so I know, you know, you can't coach both sides of the football. And your specialty is certainly on offense. But the new DC, and it's new to him too.
Yeah, you know, Taylor is an unbelievable human being. Everybody that's ever around him, they talk about his energy, like Coach O talked about, his ability to relate with the players. He is young, but he's extremely football smart. He was an overachiever as a player, and our players love him. And one thing, Mike, you'll see, man, we will play like our hair's on fire on defense. They will play their tail off on defense. And we've surrounded him with some older people to help him. Nate Fuqua has been a long-time D coordinator. Brian Whitehead's been a long-time D coordinator. So, but man, our players love Taylor. I love Taylor and believe in him. And all great coaches had to get their first shot somewhere, baby. And, you know, I've hired a lot of good young DCs in my past, and I certainly think he's got a chance to be one, too.
Last question for you. You were fortunate that you didn't have a huge amount of losses in the NIL transfer portal system, but losing punter and kicker. I think anytime that happens, you know, there's some uncertainty there. So tell all Green Wave fans how you feel about the punting and place kicking situation.
Yeah, you know, that's a spot. I'm glad you brought it up. That's a spot that a lot of people forget to talk about. And we lost two phenomenal players there. One good thing is we got our snapper back, Jason Arredondo. He'll be his second year snapping for us. He's really good. We've got William Hudlow, who's been in our program as a punter out of Jesuit. And then we signed Brooks Moore, a true freshman, was the number five rated punter in the country by Coles Kicking. They've been competing all fall camp, and, man, they've really improved. Now that we got to do it in games right there. That's an inexperienced spot where we've got to continue to push them and grow them and get the most out of them. But I have been pleased with their growth in fall camp. At kicker, Cooper Helmke's back out of St. Martin's right there in town right there. He redshirted last year. He's got an unbelievable leg and a bright future. And then we brought in Jackson Corville, who was a great kicker at Ball State and then went to Ohio State and actually got on the field there for them. He's an extremely driven kid. They've had great competition. I've been really pleased with how they kick. Now, we got to do it live. You know, but last week in our red zone lockout drill with a lot of pressure on them, we made all our field goals, so that was good to see. We're putting pressure on both groups every day, trying to simulate games, and we like what they're doing, but we got to get it done on game day, too.
Yeah, it doesn't pay that you can kick in practice, but can't kick in a game. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate it, and man, once the season starts, you and I will talk weekly on our Tulane Tuesday segment, and be glad to do it. And we wish you the best of luck. Stay healthy, Coach.
You got it, Mike. Appreciate talking to you guys, man. Roll wave.
Thank you so much. The head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, Will Hall, and once the season starts, every Tuesday afternoon. Coach Hall will join me, and we'll talk Tulane football. Man, that's coming right around the corner. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.